I want you to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 6 and also get out your listening guide because I've got a lot of notes for you that you were handed when you came in. I want to welcome our radio ministry, our webcast, folks watching all over the world right now, which is amazing to think about, all over our city too with all of our multi-site campuses. And in particular, just, man, we're so excited to let everyone know, and Cypress already knows this, but we're moving in the fall to two services at our Cypress campus. So that's an awesome thing. Let's celebrate that. All of our campuses clapping and celebrate what's happening there. That is a wonderful thing. So congratulations on Cypress for that. And we're praying and excited about all those sort of things. It's great in Siena and downtown. So excited about what God's doing there as well. And our Espanol campus también. So it's a good thing all the way around. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 23 is going to be the ending verse. 21 through 23 is what we're going to look at. Now let me get your minds as we're going there. We've been in Ephesians for a good while now, so let's just do a little bit of review because this is our last moment in Ephesians, which kind of makes me sad to tell you the truth. We've gotten to be such good friends with these Ephesians. We've gotten to look at them and hear from Paul. And so I'm kind of like, it's always hard to end a book because I live in these books, you know, when I'm teaching this. I've spent a lot of time studying it. So it's like, oh, bye-bye Ephesians for a while. We'll be back. But to be able to see this, let me just give you a little bit of a review because Paul is going to tell us in this passage of Scripture, it's the benediction, it's the ending thing that he's going to give us. And he is going to tell us a lot of things he's been telling us, but let me give you a little bit of a review. The city of Ephesus was an amazing city. They had the Temple of Diana there, and it was also called Artemis was the other name. Depending if you're Roman, you called her Diana. If you were Greek, you called her Artemis. This temple was the seventh wonder of the world. Now, I know you thought the Astrodome, you know, was in the list somewhere, but this was the seventh wonder of the world in the ancient days. Amazing thing. They would call Ephesus the Bank of Asia, because kings and princes would store their wealth there. 300,000 people in this port city, they would worship at the temple of Artemis or Diana. So there was a lot of false god worship. It was a contrary culture to Christianity. And Paul and the Ephesian Christians step up and they say, we want you to know about Jesus. And many of the people went, oh, we need something. So he plants the church of Ephesus there. And in the book of Ephesians, it's about 10 years later from when the church was planted in the book of Acts. In Ephesians chapter 1 through 3, we went over that for months, is talking about the riches we have in Christ. Chapters 4 through 6 is talking about the responsibilities we have in Christ. God never asks you to do something that he hasn't provided for you the resources to do it. So he gives us three chapters of riches. We're seated in the heavenlies, seated in the heavenlies. Then he gives us chapters 4, 5, and 6, three chapters of responsibilities that we're going to walk in a Christian fashion in our homes and places that we're employed. We're going to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. So we're going to sit, we're going to walk, and then Ephesians 6, we're going to stand strong. We're going to stand strong with the full armor of God. So we have responsibilities, and we have riches that come first, and then they lead to our responsibilities. That's where we've been for the past year. I hope that doesn't sound new to you if you've been coming. If you're like, wow, I've never heard any of that before, I want to beg you to pay more attention, okay? Please, please pay more attention. If you're brand new and you're like, oh, I missed that series, well, that's okay. You're going to get a good recap here this time. So that's what Ephesians is about, and he's going to give us here. He's going to give us the last words that he's going to give us here. It's going to be a great time. Now, there's a lot of words that he could give us, a lot of things that can be said. There's many words in language, isn't there? You ever get in a situation where somebody's talking about something and they use a word and you're not real sure what that word means? Every vocation is some type of a coup against lay people, right? They all got their big words. Doctors can use this, and lawyers can use this, and engineers can use this, and pastor types can use these words. There's all sorts of words, and I get in certain situations where a word is used, and I'm like, let me see if I can figure that word out in context, because I don't want to ask, because then I'll seem silly if I'm asking. There's all these different words. So they've been doing a little bit of a study throughout history of global languages, and the Global Language Monitor said that we crossed the million word mark in January of 2014. So the million word mark was crossed. Now, there's a lot of debate on this, but Google Harvard study says that the current number of words in the English language is over a million words as well. Now, what's interesting in one of these studies, the millionth word, because words are being, you know, come up with all the time, the millionth word was Web 2.0, which I don't even count as a real word, do you? So Web 2.0 shows you all these things that are happening. They say that the words, that there's about 14.7 words a day that are new words created. About every 98 minutes, there's words created. So you can go and you can, I've got some books I'm going to show you that give us a lot of words. You got good old Webster's Dictionary. I mean, this is where you turn to if you want to know if a word is there or not. So they wouldn't quite have a million, but, you know, this is what they would say there. You could turn to the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible. Okay, so this is, many of you might have this. So this is a big old thick book on, you just want to find a word in the Bible. You could get that there. You could come along and you could say, well, I want to learn a new language. So you could have Verbos de Español here. This is, I have this. This is actually my book, 501 Spanish Verbs. The problem is, I only know about five is the problem, okay? So, esta problema, okay. So you've got this. So we've got 500 words, 500 just verbs that you could have in Español to be able to have. Now we've got the Mounce's Complete Expository Dictionary of Old Testament and New Testament Words. So you could look at all of these things and you could come up with a lot of words. Here's what's going to happen. Paul's going to give us four words today. Then I'm going to show us and show that those four words are better than all the rest of the words that are in these dictionaries. Let's look in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21 through 23 and see if you can figure out some of these words. Tychicus, that's not one of our words, but that's an interesting name, isn't it? Tychicus. Our dearly loved brother and faithful servant in the Lord will tell you everything so that you also may know how I am and what I'm doing. I am sending him to you for this very reason, to let you know how we are and to encourage your hearts. Okay, that's good. I'll tell you about that in just a second. Verse 23, here comes our words. Peace, number one word, to the brothers, and love, number two word, with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with you who all have an undying love for our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace being the fourth word there. So here we've got the very beginning in verse 21. It says Tychicus. Now you probably don't know a lot of people named Tychicus. Neither do I. That's a hard one to say, but that's his name. Tychicus is an amazing guy, though. He's a faithful servant of the Lord. He's a faithful man of God. It says there that he's a faithful servant of the Lord and a dear brother. He's going to be the one that delivers the letter to the church at Ephesus. He's going to take it from Paul and take it to the church at Ephesus. He's also going to deliver the letter of Colossians. So this guy, you know, back in this day, you didn't just text it and say, hey, let me instant message you. I'll put it on Facebook. We'll put Ephesians on Facebook, and then anybody can get it. You'd have to write it, and then you'd give it to somebody that you trusted. And that person in trust would then take it to those people. So you had to trust this person greatly. There's all things throughout history that you can read about a letter not getting to somebody or somebody reading the letter before they got it there. Tychicus was trusted and he got the letter there to the right place. Now, he gets the letter there, and when he gets it, we end up with these four words. The first word is peace. Peace is our first word. More important than any other word you can imagine. We're going to give a lot of them, but peace is a very important word. I'll put it as a real important word. Peace, he says in the scriptures there, he says, peace to you, brothers. Peace to you, brothers. Now, let's talk about peace for just a second. Peace, first of all, with God. Peace with God. It's a product of living in God's will. How do you have peace in your life? You live, it's a product of living in God's will. When you're outside of God's will, when you're doing things contrary to the Lord, you're not going to have peace in your life. Now, there's two different kinds of peace that we could have. First peace could be this, circumstantial peace. And that's what really most of us are looking for, circumstantial peace. Just everything's going to be okay, everything's fine. But secondly, and most importantly, there's circumstantial peace, but there's judicial peace, if I can use a big word. Judicial peace, meaning peace between God and man. Circumstantial peace is one thing, but to have peace with God is another thing. Because here's the truth about it. Bad news alert. Your life is not going to be all roses. It's not going to be all peaceful. I thought in my like teens and 20s, I thought at some point you entered cruise control on life. Surely when you got married, that's when it's easy street. I mean, you get a mortgage and a job and a house and kids and bills. That's a whole lot easier than just being a student and living off your parents, correct? Then as I got through it, I would look back at younger folks. I'd be like, I've got good news and bad news. Good news is you're going to keep getting older and you'll have some great things that you'll do. Bad news is it gets worse. Life circumstantially is not peaceful. And many of us think whatever the next stage is, that's going to be the place of peace. The place of peace is a judicial peace between God and man. That's the place of peace. Because it's going to be storms in your office, storms in your home, storms in our country, in our world. But we can have peace with God. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, that he can give us a peace that passes all understanding. Even in grief, you can have peace. Even in tough times, you can have peace. Now let's ask this question. This is a big question we need to ask. Is peace possible apart from God? Is peace possible apart from God? Because you look out at the world and people are looking for a whole lot of things to give them peace. Can you, as a created being, be separated from your Creator and have peace of the soul? I submit to you that you cannot. And that folks are continually looking and searching and trying to get that peace. And Paul says, peace to you, brothers. At the end of Ephesians, I want you to hear, peace to you. Here's what I've discovered in my life. Matthew chapter 10, verse 39 says, whoever finds his life shall lose it. Whoever loses his life shall find it. Here's what I used to think. I thought if I became a Christian before I was a believer in Jesus, well, if I give my heart to the Lord, if I really trust him with my salvation, then he's going to make me into something I'm not. Then as I became a Christian, I thought, okay, well, this is good so far. If I really walk in obedience with him, he's going to make me into someone I'm not. And I was always insecure and worried that God was going to take me, and the more I got to know him, the weirder I was going to get. And the more distant from my true self I was really going to be. So I thought, well, this is who I am, and I don't know if I want to be over there in that whole Christian thing. Here's what I've discovered after 20 plus years of walking with the Lord. The more I get to know Jesus, the more at peace I am with who I really am. The more I get to know Jesus, the more at peace I am with who I really am. The more I discover Christ, the more I actually discover who I really am. And me, as a song says, to be apart from God is for me to live a lie. I am more me the more I get to know he. So peace comes from God. Now that's peace with God. But he says, peace, brothers, to you, with man. With man is a pursuit to show God's power. Peace with man is a pursuit to show God's power. That we realize that, you know what? It's going to be difficult to have peace. It's going to be difficult to have peace with one another. We need God, his power, to give us forgiveness for somebody that's hurt us, to give us grace to somebody that's wronged us. We need his power through us to show in peace. And so that's why a man and a woman getting along in marriage shines with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why a family that's tight because they've acknowledged God and they're able to walk in peace, that shows God's power. We should strive for peace on earth, no question about it. But here's the bad news. It's really never going to completely happen. So, and just look at history. All of recorded years of history, there's been very few years of peace. We seek it and we should, both politically, both militarily, all of those things. But we've got to understand that there's going to be a time in which he makes the swords into plows. That he is the peace that comes in heaven. So our first word, it's mentioned seven times in the book of six chapters of Ephesians. Our first word is peace. And I submit to you as we get these four words that this is a very important word. And every human being is looking for this. The second word is love. It says peace to the brothers and love with faith. love with faith. The second word is love. Now, we love the word love. We talk about love all the time, especially in Christianity. God's a loving God. God's a loving God. What's awesome about God is his primary attribute is not love. His primary attribute is holy. And his love comes from his holiness. You don't have the loving Bible in your lap. You have the holy Bible. They don't scream out to God in heaven. The angels are not singing love, love, love. They're singing holy, holy, holy is what they're singing. But from his holiness, now look how good this is. His love comes. His love comes. So we want to have a love for God, and we want to have a love for people. So let's talk about for God for just a second. Love for God is the center of the target. Center of the target for Christianity is a love for God. That's the center of the target, that we would love him. Do you remember last week when we talked about Revelation 2:4? It's a word in Revelation to the church at Ephesus. Jesus says, but I have this against you. You have abandoned your first love. Their morality and their theology were intact, but they no longer love Jesus. That was my whole message last week. Do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? And so this point is, for God, that's the center of the target. Now, for people, this is the resource to love them. For people, the resource to love others. The love of God is what allows us to have a love for other people. We have to love people that believe contrary to what we believe and act contrary to what we act. But we want to love people because God is our primary love. And the more I love God, and the more you love God, the more this word gets to part of our lives, the more we're going to be able to love others. See, because now your love is based in truth. It's deeper than emotion. It's deeper than feeling. It's the most maturest of choices. The most mature choice you could make is to love other people well because of the resource of Jesus in you. That's the most mature thing you could possibly do. Now, what do? A lot of times we do immature things. I don't feel like it. Loving people has got to come from a higher resource. I don't have enough resources. You don't have enough resources to truly love people. We can manipulate people. We can use people. We can love people for a moment. But to really love them, no strings attached, you're going to have, and I'm going to have a flow coming through us. And that all hinges on, finally, in love, a love from God. A love from God. You know that love is mentioned 20 times in Ephesians? 20 times in 6 chapters, love is mentioned. So he says, I want you to have a love for God. Don't leave your first love. I want you to have a love for people. That's what all really Ephesians 4 and 5 is, loving your husband, your wife, your kids, your employer, the people around you. I want you to have a love for people, but it's got to come from God. A love from God. A love from God heals us, helps us, and holds us. It heals us, it helps us, it holds us. Hear what it says in verse 23. It says, in love with faith from God the Father. From God the Father. Now, if you've had a bad father experience, hear that verse. Love from God, and then what else? The Father. Love from God. He heals us. He's our Father. He helps us. He holds us. God's love is white hot for you. It never diminishes in temperature. It's always at the hottest degree it could possibly be. And many of us think that God is just kind of semi-tolerating us. He loves you. And I've been asking the Lord this year to show me his love, to teach me about his love, because men, we talked about it a little bit last week. Men, we're not really good at receiving or expressing love. We're kind of like, okay, that's weird. I don't want to get too uncomfortable here with this. And ladies, y'all love that uncomfortableness. And that's why, men, if it makes you feel silly, she'll love it. Okay? That's just all you got to know. If you feel silly, I don't know if I should do that, she'll love it. It'd be great. But we feel a little bit silly with it. So I've been asking God, Lord, would you just help me to understand you love me. Now, I can preach about the love of God. I can hear about the love of God. I can sing about the love of God. But can I reflect upon it and sit with it and go, he loves me. He really cares for me. He's really, really, really going to heal some places in my heart that are wounded. He's really going to help me. He's really going to hold me. He's going to take care of me. I'm in his hand. I want to understand and live a life loved by God. And that's easier said than done, isn't it? Love takes time to understand that. I told you a couple weeks ago when my back had been hurting that this song was just, I get stuck on songs. I really only need about maybe 10 or 12 songs a year because I get stuck on them for like a month, and I'll just listen to the same song over and over and over, and other songs around, but there's just like that one song. My family knows it, so they kind of joke about it with me, and it's like, well, what's your song right now, Dad? And so my song for a while, and it's still kind of my song, but I'm transitioning to a new song, but it's been my song for the month, has been this song by Chris August called The Maker, and the chorus just simply says, I love the Maker, and the Maker loves me. The bridge says there's more. It's more than just words on a page. You've shown me in a million ways that you love me. So I love the Maker, and the Maker loves me. So this last month, that's been my, I love the Maker, and the Maker loves me. That's been my song. And I started thinking about that preparing this message, and I went back to another song. I didn't think about it, but I've kind of been hooked on songs for a long time now. So this goes back, way back to the 90s. And so The Love of God by Rich Mullins. I started thinking about this song. I was just hooked on this song for a while. There's a wideness in God's mercy I cannot find in my own. And he keeps his fire burning to melt this heart of stone. Keeps me aching with the yearning. Keeps me glad to have been caught. Hear this. In the reckless, raging fury that they call the love of God. I want you to hear that phrase. The reckless, raging fury they call the love of God. That's different than Jesus loves you. Here's a cute little flower. Oh. His love is a raging fury for you and for me. Peace. Love, realizing that the love of God has to go deeper than just the trite, God loves you. You got to absorb it. I got to absorb it in my core like a dry sponge thrown in the ocean. Peace, love. Now, I want you to see Ephesians 2, 3 through 10. It's a different section of scripture, but I want you to see this passage of scripture as we move to our next words. And our next word is faith, is where we're going. But here's what it says. And as you were, in verse 3, we too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh. We thought we'd discover who we really are by doing our own thing. In our own flesh and our own thoughts. And by nature, we were children under wrath. Doesn't sound very peaceful, does it? As the others were also. Verse 4. But God. Do you remember we did a whole series? But God. But God. But God. Who is rich. Ephesians 1 through 3. In mercy because of his great love that we just talked about. That he had for us. And he made us alive with the Messiah. Even though we were dead in our trespasses, by grace, you are saved. He has raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he may display the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you were saved through faith. Circle that word. By grace you are saved. Through faith. This is not of yourselves. No, you didn't do this. It's not your works. It's not going to church. It is God's gift. Not from works, so that no one can boast. For we are his creation, and we are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them. Huge, huge statement of faith and grace. Our next word, that is here that we could put down that's more important, that's important like all these words, not that each one of them is the most important, but that these words are more important than basically any other words you're going to get in these books. Faith, faith, faith is unseen strength and hope. Faith is unseen strength and hope. Did you see it said by faith, we placed our faith in Jesus Christ. That is where our faith is in his unseen strength and hope. We trust in him. What an amazing thought. Have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ for salvation? That he's the only way that you're going to get to heaven is to have your faith in him. Is your faith as a believer in Christ in him that you're really believing? Faith is mentioned 10 times in 6 chapters of Ephesians. God is stronger. See, faith is risking. Faith is desperation. Faith and love find their source in God. That we have faith in him. And if you're going to have peace and you're going to love, you're going to have faith in Jesus Christ. The fourth word that we have is grace. It says in the scripture there in Ephesians 6, it says then that you would have love and faith from God and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 24, grace be with you who have an undying love for our Lord Jesus Christ. The fourth word is grace. Oh, grace is a great word, isn't it? When you look at these four words, aren't these four words more important really than any other words in these dictionaries? I don't need a million words. I really just need these four. These four words will take me into eternity. It might not take me into the lawyer or doctor office to know everything they're talking about, but it can sure take me into heaven with God. These four words right here. And the fourth word is grace, God's favor and forgiveness. God's favor and forgiveness. See, what's the difference in Christianity than all different religions? C.S. Lewis walked into a room and they were debating this and everybody was talking and stroking their beards and moving their glasses around as they're thinking over all of these theological things. What's the difference in Christianity and every other religion in the world? C.S. Lewis walked in the room and he said this, "Oh, that's easy. It's grace. It's grace. That God sent his son to die for you and me and that he has his favor has been given to us. His forgiveness has been given to us." Philip Yancey puts it like this about this. He says, "The notion of God's love coming to us free of charge, no strings attached, seems to go against every instinct of humanity. The Buddhist Eightfold Path, the Hindu doctrine of karma, the Jewish covenant, the Muslim code of law, each offers a way to earn approval. Only Christianity dares to make God's love unconditional." Grace. I made a bunch of mistakes, Pastor. Grace. Well, man, I came to Christ late in life. I got all sorts of past. Grace. Man, I knew the Lord, and I flat out walked away from the Lord. Grace. Grace, his favor, his forgiveness, he loves you. Think about the phrase that I circled there, the series that we had, but God, but God. Here's what it says in Ephesians, the verse that I read to you in Ephesians 2. It says, we were children of wrath, we were under wrath, and it says, but God, who is abundant in mercy because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive. But God, he stepped in, he did it. Genesis 17, Abraham laughed when Sarah was going to be with child, and then it says, but God stepped in. Joseph said to his brothers, it was not you who sent me here when they threw him into slavery, but God. Joseph on his deathbed said, I am about to die, but God will come to your aid. Israel going into battle in 2 Chronicles 20, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. The battle is not yours, but God's. All throughout the scriptures, we see, but God, he steps in and he makes a difference because of his grace. So let me tell you what we've done to help you remember as you walk out of every campus. For us to remember this series in Ephesians, everybody will receive a magnet to put on your refrigerator, put wherever you want to put it. And it says very simply, but God, but God. And then for our Spanish campus, Pedro Dios, but God. We've got here the name of the church, and then down here we've been using this little logo. It's off the periodic table of elements that Ephesians is the 49th book of the Bible and has 6 chapters, so that's what that is on the right-hand side. And you could take this and you can remember this whole series in Ephesians with two words, but God. I want us to say this together. Every campus, we're going to say it together three times. You ready? One, two, three. But God. One, two, three. But God. One more time. But God. Man, we're in a world of hurt in our marriage. But God can change your marriage. My kids are wild, but God can do something in their heart. We're broke, but God can show up. God shows up, but God is the one. And we live a life of grace and favor and forgiveness because God showed up. That's why. Now, the last thing I want to show you, and then we're going to wrap up. We're done. Ephesians chapter, and I don't want you to miss this. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 24. Grace, that's where we get this word grace, be with you who have an undying love for our Lord Jesus Christ. It's almost like Paul knew that 40-something years later when Revelation was written that Jesus would say, but you've left your first love. He says, but for you, I want you to have an undying love for Christ. See, the result of studying Ephesians is an undying love for Christ. That's what we've been trying to get across for a year. The result of studying Ephesians is not head knowledge. It's not just hearing a sermon or two. It is an undying love for Christ. That's what the whole thing's about. Paul says, I want you to have an undying love for Christ. 1 Corinthians puts it like this in chapter 9. Now everyone who competes exercises self-control in everything. However, they do it to receive a crown that will fade away, but we have a crown that will never fade away. It'll never die. Undying love for Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, what in your life is undying besides things of God? Everything in your life is dying. Your yard that looks so good because we've had all this rain, it's going to be brown by August. That garden you maybe have in the back, just don't tend it for a while. It'll die. Those roses, it'll die. Don't start your car for a few years. The battery will die. There is dying all over. You and I right now are in the process of living, yes, but we're also in the process of dying. You're a step closer to death, isn't this encouraging, than you were yesterday. The other day, just to accentuate this point, this is what happened in my life. The other day, it all happened in one day. I woke up in the morning, and I looked in the mirror, and I put on my glasses. I went, man, that's getting some gray hair here. What's going on with this? Then I went to lunch that day, and I was waiting on some friends. Kelly and I were eating lunch with another couple we're friends with. And so you know how it works when you're waiting on somebody? You pull out your phone, and so I start reading my email on my phone, looking at my email. But then I noticed I had to look underneath my glasses to really see it just right. So now I got glasses. I'm looking over and under because I can't see. I could see near without my glasses. I can't see far without my glasses. So these help me to see far. So now to see near, I got to do this. So I'm thinking, I got gray hair, and I'm looking underneath my glasses to read, you know, and the next step is to up the font on my phone, okay? That's the next step. Okay, some of y'all are already there. You get like one word on your phone is what you're getting. So you're thinking the, you know, 6 Plus is cool because it got a bigger screen. So pretty soon you'll be walking around with your laptop to kind of make it your phone. So I'm looking under my glasses at my phone. I get an email from somebody. It's a magazine, and it's not like just Dear Resident. It's actually addressed to me. So I'm looking there. They're asking me to be the editor for next year for their magazine. They want me to be the editor and write editorials in their magazine and then have feature articles once a quarter in the magazine. The magazine was for people 50 and above. It was called Mature Living. So I'm like, now I'm getting invited. Nobody's asking me to do a youth camp. I'm now asking to be the editor. And, you know, 50 and above, y'all are still really awesome people. I'm not dogging you, okay? Mature Living, what? And then I get to lunch, and they give me a gift. Our friends give me a gift. This all happened in the course of about 4 hours. They give me a gift at lunch. It's a lumbar ice pack. Because my back was hurting. So now I can attach this lumbar ice pack, and it goes really... Here's what's worse. It's awesome. This thing rocks. This is awesome. I'm trying to figure out ways to wear it underneath my shirt, you know, that nobody would be able to see. I think I just got a little pudgy around the waist. I'm dying. You're dying. You're headed, if you're not already there, to glasses, a bigger font, senior adult ARP magazines, and ice packs. That's where you're heading. And Paul says, I want you to have an undying love that'll never fade, never die for all of eternity. So I could say, you know what? I like this thing, but I don't need it because guess what? I've got something for eternity called a belt of truth. A breastplate of righteousness, a helmet of salvation. My feet are shod with the gospel of peace. I got a sword of the Spirit, and I'm walking out in the armor of God through Ephesians to say, I want to walk with an undying love for all of eternity. That's what Ephesians is about. Something that lasts forever. Do you know Christ as your forever Savior? Are you walking with a forever Lord, that the boss of your life is a forever? Or is the boss of your life material stuff and it's not forever? It's going to fade, it's going to rust. Is the boss of your life fashion and it's going to have moths eat it all up? Is the boss of your life the boss at the office? Well, guess what? You're not going to work for him forever, but you are going to be with Jesus forever, or apart from Jesus forever. So I tell you, Paul wraps this up. He says, look, there might be a million words in your language one day. I'm going to give you the top four words you need to know for life. Peace comes only from God. He loves you so great. Would you place your faith in him and realize it is only by grace that you are saved or have a relationship with God? That's what it's all about. And sometimes we feel like, well, I've come to these words so many times, I don't know if I can go back. You know what it is? You go back to these words all the time. It's like a marathon runner. You don't run a marathon and get to mile 15 and go, oh, I don't want to have any of the water because that'll show weakness. No, as a marathon runner, you know water's coming because I'm going to need it. And God has put it together so that he can give it all to you through the Holy Spirit of God and you can come back to him. So come, peace, love, faith, and grace, those four words are more important than any of these books that I've covered up with them. And you come to that, and you come to an undying love. Jesus, thank you for the book of Ephesians. Thank you, God, for the people of Ephesus. And may we, just as if it was written to the Houstonians, may we live these words out. And may we realize that our life is a mess, but God, but God. Our country has got some problems, but God can do something. Our world, it's got some major issues, but God can make a difference. So we come, Lord, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' power, asking you to do Jesus' work in us. That Jesus would live through us so that we'd have an undying love for the Lord Jesus Christ. In that name we pray.